Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Sunrise Communications Financial Results Q2 and H1 2012 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 23rd of August, 2012. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Uwe Schüler. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our investor call for the Q2 H1 2012 financial results of Sunrise Communications Holding. My name is Uwe Schüler. I'm responsible for investor relations at Sunrise. I have with me Oliver Steil as CEO, André Krause, CFO, and Michael Burkhardt, Head of Corporate Communications. The presentation will be started by André to walk you through the financial results and then followed by Oliver to give you some updates on the operational trends and markets. André?
Yeah. Thanks, Uwe, and good afternoon, everybody. I would like to start with the key messages on slide number two on the presentation. Firstly, if we look to the revenue development of our business in the first half year, we have seen an increase year-on-year of 7% to a level of 1,023.1 million. That growth was mainly due to our good mobile postpaid customer growth since last year and also due to the acquisition of the business Sunrise Enterprise Solutions business, which we have acquired in the fourth quarter last year. Our mobile subscriber base in the first half year has been growing by almost 100,000 customers, exactly 97,700, or a 9.3% increase year-on-year. We do see a continued good customer growth in the first half year. EBITDA for the first half year resulted at 311.9 million, which is equal to a growth of 8.5%, again, driven by the good growth of mobile customer base, increase in LLU base, and tight cost controls. We have been able to deliver that EBITDA development. However, and we will go through the details, you will also see that the second quarter, we have seen already a softening of our customer growth and also a softening of the revenue growth, whereas the EBITDA was still quite stable, also benefiting from less subscriber growth and less acquisition costs in the second quarter. Additionally, we'd like to mention that at the end of the second quarter, we have seen a significant tariff change by Swisscom, followed by pricing changes on our side. At the time being, of course, this has not impacted our second quarter, but I think we need to look out for the results in Q3 and Q4, and obviously those price changes will give some pressure on gross profit and EBITDA going forward. Total network market share, as we can assess it at the time being, we think we have been growing slightly to 24%, which is 2.2% up compared to the prior assessment that we did. Now with that, I'd like to move to slide number three and talk you a little bit more in detail through our mobile subscriber development. As said already, the key driver of our business is the good postpaid subscriber growth, and you find in the numbers the 98,000 customer growth that we have been able to add since second quarter last year. In the first quarter, we have added, compared to Q4 last year, 27,000 postpaid customers. In the second quarter, we were able to add another 14,000 customers. Here you see that our postpaid subscriber growth has softened, as I said. From our perspective, key reasons for this are, on the one hand side, many more customers are bound into 24-month contracts, but also equally important, we do see that there was little reason in the second quarter to actually get to a new contract, mainly because there were no tariff innovations during the main time of the quarter, and also there were no really attractive phones out there. We have seen since then, Oliver will touch on that later on, that market momentum has accelerated quite a bit in the third quarter due to the tariff changes and also due to hardware launches like, for example, the Samsung S3, which has given new market drive on the postpaid side. On prepaid, we are at a customer base of 971,000 at the end of the half year. That year-on-year is a down of 21,000 customers, and it's also additionally another 20,000 customers down compared to the first quarter. You can see that there is some sort of seasonality in the development of the prepaid customer base. That has to do with mainly the Christmas quarter being a quarter where many of prepaid customers actually get new handsets. But those customer numbers are not necessarily a real customer base growth as we see right now, because then over time they have other SIM cards that they actually stop using, and that the results then in some sort of churn. Interesting message I would like to pass on is what we do see is that there's a good stream of prepaid customers that is moving into our postpaid customer base, and we do see that this is around 2,000 to 2,500 customers per month actually migrating into postpaid. If you take that number and work back the numbers for the first half year of last year, then actually the 21,000 decline that we have been seeing year on year is easily compensated by the 25,000 to 30,000 customers that have been migrated upwards to postpaid and thus not necessarily have resulted in a revenue down. From an ARPU perspective, little change. You see the development, a slight tick upwards towards 44.9 Swiss francs ARPU. We do still see some positive trends, or have seen some positive trends in the first half year, where customers were migrating upwards, and that has driven this development towards a slightly higher ARPU than in the same period before. If we move to our FixNet business on slide 4, we have a little growth experienced in the first half year. Our customers base has grown by 3,000 customers, or roughly 1% increase. Of course, that is not a big jump ahead. We do see that the TV offer is helping us to accelerate our growth momentum, but at the same time, we have also still negative customer movements, meaning churn in other segments of that business. We do think that this positive upward trend should actually stay and potentially even accelerate going forward. Looking at the ARPU, also little change, pretty much the same picture that we had in the first quarter. Slight ARPU down, driven by the migrations to our own infrastructure, which come with a slight price down. But then, adversely, we do see that the gross margin is ticking upwards as an effect of that migration to own infrastructure. So very little change, and still a stable and positive trend from our perspective. Now, if we then turn to slide number 5, talking about the result in terms of revenue and gross profit and EBITDA, all in all, we do see a revenue growth for the quarter of 7%. For the half year of 7% compared to the first half year of 11. Looking at the quarters, you can see that there is a softening of that revenue growth happening in the second quarter. Reasons for that, of course, is a softening of customer growth, but furthermore, also we have seen some sort of different seasonality compared to last year. So we have seen a much stronger first quarter in terms of revenues, also driven by customer behaviors, whereas the second quarter, mainly due to seasonality, has turned out slightly weaker than that. In EBITDA, this has not yet resulted, or has not resulted in a significant change in EBITDA. Growth trajectory, we have grown by 8% in the first quarter, 252 million, and are now growing by 9.5% in the second quarter, 260 million. The margin is ticking upwards towards 31%, and this is also on the back of the lower customer growth, where that means that we have, of course, spent less acquisition money in the second quarter, and therefore profitability has slightly increased. Turning to slide number six, here you have the table of the detailed figures. I think interesting might be to look at the organic growth of the business. Here, I think the key element is the half-year revenue growth, excluding the acquisition of the business center Sunrise Enterprise Systems, where our growth would result in 2.6%. Also, the revenue growth, excluding hubbing, would be at a level of 7%, so equal to the total revenue growth that we have experienced for the half year. In terms of EBITDA, our EBITDA margin, excluding our hubbing business, would be at a level of 32.6%, so still at a very good level and quite stable at this time. Looking at CapEx, I will give you some details on the CapEx development on the next slide, but if we look at the figure, we have a 70 million spent and a ratio of 7.3%. The 70 million spent in the first half year compares to 47 million last year, which is an up of almost 50%. This is, as you will see on the next slide, driven by the investment schemes that we have accelerated in order to improve our infrastructure and to underpin our customer growth. Operating free cash flow on 121 million and EBITDA minus CapEx on 242, pretty much on the same level what we have seen in the first half year 2011. Now, turning to the CapEx page number seven, here you see the detailed split on where the additional CapEx has been allocated to. Mainly you see we are investing into the rollout of our network to improve our coverage and also mainly to improve our UMTS coverage, making use of our 900 spectrum. This is something that has been accelerated and will further accelerate throughout the second half year as we have onboarded our new partner Huawei. Secondly, we have also made investments into our fixed-net business. Here, mainly two elements are important. One was our IPTV investment, which we did, but furthermore, also investments for the business customer side in terms of corporate Ethernet products, which was a gap in our product portfolio that we have filled, and also some investments into fiber and site infrastructure on the fixed net side. So that all in all drives a 47% increase year on year. And you will also see that the second half year, as you have seen last year, will be significantly stronger in terms of CapEx spend, mainly due to seasonality, but also accelerated by the onboarding of our new partner, Huawei, which is now accelerating the rollout and the speed of investments. Slide number eight, talking about our new financing structure. And as you know, we have done a refinancing at the beginning of July. What I'd like to emphasize on this chart is the pro forma financing structure at the end of the quarter. Pro forma meaning we have actually taken in the result of the refinancing, and we have also taken in the payment of the first license tranche of 290 million, which effectively has been executed on the 6th of August. And if we take that picture, then for the 30th of June, that would result in a leverage ratio of 3.84, which is equal to what we have given in our offering memorandum when we were going to the market with the new bond issues. So overall, I think that gives you a good view on how the thing would look like at this point in time, and pretty equal to what we have said when we were going to market. Now, with that, I come to a conclusion. Overall, I think the first half year has shown a good trend and a good development of the business. We have seen the softening of the trading in the second quarter on the backed by the information I gave you. And with that, I would like to hand over to Oliver to give you some further updates on markets and operations.
Welcome also from my side. I'd like to do a short tour through the first 6 months of this year and the major events, and also how we see the development in key product categories and the network at this point in time. If you go to page 10, we would like to talk a little bit about our TV product. We have been very active in improving the TV offering over the last month. As you know, we've started with the positioning of best HD channel selection and also a unique feature into the market, which is the catch-up TV function, where you can actually go back in time by 30 hours and view the TV program in many channels of the last 30 hours. We have been working on this proposition continually. We've added HD channels. We have actually broadened the number of channels for the comeback functions. We by now have a competitive video on demand offer. And what we also have by now is very strong pay TV partnerships, meaning Teleclub for the German part of Switzerland and the German-speaking part of Switzerland and the Canal Plus for the French-speaking part. We're also having interesting promotions on these two products. So we're very happy that we have been able to strike these partnerships as a relative newcomer to the market, and we would consider our product to be very complete now. We also see that most of the customers, the majority takes the TV Comfort at a price point of 125 Swiss francs a month. We do offer attractive bundle discounts for customers who also have mobile, and by now we do see several 10,000 subscribers for this product. And we believe that this was a very successful launch from our perspective, given the relative late point in time when we launched and also the relatively low CapEx invest in order to build this product. Then secondly, what was widely discussed is the network and the network improvement program and the auction. If you go to page 11, I think we've touched upon this several times. We have acquired very attractive spectrum, and consequently we also have decided not to appeal the auction result. We've been going through this discussion internally. It was also discussed in the press in Switzerland, but in the end we have opted for a secured planning going forward, meaning in an appeal situation we might not have been able to use the spectrum that we have acquired, and we considered that to be a big disadvantage in the future network rollout. We do believe that using the UMTS 900 spectrum, we will be able to build a very strong competitive advantage compared to Swisscom and Orange, in that we will have a 42 to 84 megabits per second speed network across the whole country with very good outdoor and indoor coverage due to the very strong propagation characteristics of the spectrum. And since this is available immediately, whereas on the LTE side, we need to wait for 800 megahertz spectrum allocation and network build out will take quite a while, we decided that we want to play this card as quickly as possible and therefore have refrained from an auction appeal, for which there might have been some reasons. We also have clarity now on the payment situation. 60% of payment was executed on 6th of August, as Andre mentioned, and another 20% will be in June 2015, and then the last tranche in December 2016. So we have a very clear plan now on how to proceed with the network rollout. Again, if we go to the next page, 12, we've touched upon this multiple times. Very strong advantage of the low or sub-gigahertz spectrum, less antennas required, better indoor coverage, and better signal strength, such that the throughput on a given antenna layout will actually be superior to other network footprints. In order to deliver on this, we have decided to join a partnership with Huawei in a landmark showcase deal where they take over end-to-end responsibility for our mobile and fixed networks. This has been signed on 26th of April. We are now rapidly approaching the service commencement date of 1st of September. So Huawei is at full speed preparing to take over all the services operations planning, and they are in the middle of rollout activities to improve our network as quickly as possible. We've told you several times that we had a small backlog, or not small, a backlog in the major projects on the network improvement, which is moving to UMTS 900, exchanging equipment to the latest technology, and also preparing for LTE pilots and rolling out FTTH. This has now been debottlenecked. Huawei, together with our internal team, is very quickly working on these programs. And that's also why we'll see a CapEx pickup. Again, this is accompanied by an internal branded initiative, which is called TQNet, which has also been put to the press in several press releases. And as part of it, we are in the middle of the swap. So we're swapping significant number of sites every week now. We are preparing an LTE pilots in multiple locations for third and fourth quarter of this year using 1800 megahertz and 2.6 gigahertz bands. And we've just yesterday announced that we will start with fiber to the home offerings for our TV product in Zurich and St. Gallen as of the next days. If we go to page 14, coming more to the mobile marketing side of things, we see that smartphones are taking more and more share in the market. We've here put figures, a question that many of you asked in the past. The share of smartphones in our postpaid base has now reached 64%. The share of gross adds in any given month since the end of last year is above 90%. So the role of feature phones has diminished significantly, and you can say that only in the prepaid segment, the classical feature phones with proprietary operating systems are still around. In the smartphone area, the big hitters over the last month, of course, still the iPhone 4S and iPhone 4, where we kind of do a sale at this moment in expectation for the iPhone 5 to come soon. And also then from Samsung, the Galaxy S2 and S3, these two devices or these two vendors were taking the biggest share in our gross adds. Important for this, these devices come with all-in tariffs where we have continued to follow the strategy of the last years that we bundle these iPhone with very attractive flat rates offerings for voice, data, and then also SMS and messaging in order to circumvent cannibalization from over-the-top applications like WhatsApp and iMessaging. Certainly, we had already taken care of these cannibalizations very early on because of the very early move to flat rates compared to our competitors in the market. But when we did the new tariffs in May, end of May this year, we have also included messaging for all of these tariffs in order to go against this cannibalization as well. You can see that on the next page, page 15, we now feature four different product ranges. One is the bundle logic in different sizes, which we call Flex, which is geared towards individual use. Then we have the youth product together with our partner MTV, where we have a community flat for 29 Swiss francs. Then we have our famous all-in flat rates, which start at 30 Swiss francs and go up to 90 Swiss francs for the frequent users. And then we even have net flat rates for international telephony and also roaming. As I said, high-speed surfing is included in all of these tariffs except for the very small packages where we have a bucket, but the speed is always high speed, the highest possible. We have included flat messaging to almost all tariffs now. We have flat calls to Sunrise and flat fixed net, and then also, of course, if you decide to take a 90 Swiss franc subscription, there's also a full Swiss flat, which is in the market. If we go, this portfolio was launched end of May, and then because of the Swisscom pricing move, we had to consider pricing moves as well on our side, which is the next page. We were asked many times, also during the roadshow, how the Swisscom pricing moves has affected us. We can say that we have significantly reduced our price plans by July 2012. It was absolutely vital for us that at any point in time, Sunrise is positioned as the best value for money operator in Switzerland, not only in terms of handsets offering, but of course also in terms of tariffs. That's why I have decided to very timely react to Swisscom's new rate plan. I think market participants were positively surprised and consumer reaction were very positive that Sunrise has reacted so fast. As a result of that, we are very happy with the customer intake that we've seen also after Swisscom's pricing move. If you look at the small graph that we have included here, you can see that in July 2012, we actually had the best gross add activation month for this year. And we see a 29% increase in postpaid gross adds for July compared to the average of 2012 before. And we can also see that during August, this trend is actually continuing. So what is very important for us is that our very robust postpaid subscriber growth that we have seen over the last 2 years does not seem to be affected by Swisscom's new rate plans. On the contrary, since we have adjusted our plans, we actually see even faster growth than the months before. Of course, that comes at a price. We will need to look at gross profit and EBITDA for the next quarters. The Swisscom pricing move was significant, very clearly, and also our reaction was significant. And therefore, we will need to assess going forward how the interplay between customer migrations to the new rate plans on the one hand, but also the compensating effect through faster growth, as you can see here, will play out. It's too early to give an analysis on this end. In order to further strengthen our positioning, we will launch in the next few days something which we consider to be very important, which we call sunrise24.ch, which is on page 17, a pure online offer with the guaranteed cheapest flat rate within Switzerland. This will be only online process, so you can only order online. All the customer service will be online or a chargeable hotline. There will be all calls and all messages within Switzerland will be included. The price point is 49 Swiss francs a month, but there will be no handset with this offer. There will be only online bill, and the whole process behind it will be extremely efficient and extremely lean. We also decided to have a short contract duration of only 3 months because we have limited upfront invest, of course, almost no upfront invest, and that should make the product very interesting also to people who want to test it and try it and try out the Sunrise network and Sunrise network quality, and we hope that we can win customers from competition to do so. It's also very clear that by issuing a price point of 49 and calling it cheapest flat rate, guaranteed lowest price, that we clearly want to signal to other market participants that this is a positioning we will never give up. And we decided to use Sunrise 24 as a sub-brand in order to link it to our overall brand positioning in the market, but also make it clearly different. You can see the green colors. So it was different web page, different teams, separate processes in order to limit, of course, migration and cannibalization as much as possible. And we're looking forward to launch that within the next days. We've communicated it to the market today. There's a web page online, www.sunrise24.ch, where we have a teaser advertising right now. And we expect to start the marketing after a very quick friendly user test, which is going on in the next few days, and then we will be live with this product. And with this, I'd like to conclude our run through the most important trends during the first 6 months, and we are now ready to take your questions.
Yeah, operator, could you please open the Q&A session?
Yes, of course. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Your first question comes from Giuliano Tori from SG General. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. I was looking at your results, and it seems that, correct me if I'm wrong, if you take out the one-offs that you had this quarter for the EBITDA, EBITDA actually contracted year on year. So I was wondering if you could explain the one-offs, which is the item 7 of your income statement, which is essentially other income, and essentially why the EBITDA has declined in Q2 versus the Q2 of last year, and if you expect this trend to continue in the next few quarters. So that's one of my questions. And the second question that I'll have is what's happening on the working capital front, which seems to have turned negative in the both of the first quarters of the year, and whether you expect this to reverse in the rest of the year. Thank you very much.
Okay, so if I start off with your question on other income, the main item on the other income is actually the ETF, so the early termination fee we charge customers if they are actually not paying their invoices during the contract duration and have an open contract duration. So then we are charging that early termination fee, and that is then booked as an other income, and that is the increase you see.
Yeah, and there's a compensating effect in other external charges, which is the provisions on early termination fees. So it is not very clear from the IFRS statement. So there's a compensating effect which needs to be net. So therefore, you might see other external other income and expenses increasing, but it is how we account for that one. We described the accounting for ETF quite extensively in our Q4 interims report, which is available on our website.
Okay, your third question was on working capital. So as we have said in the prior conferences as well, the key element here is we are still seeing the impact from a very high CapEx peak at the end of 2011, and that CapEx peak has resulted in cash payments happening in the first quarter, and that has driven a significant working capital deterioration in the first quarter. Since then, working capital is actually improving, and we also said in the past that driven by the contract that we have signed with Huawei and now the increasing amount of CapEx that is going to Huawei, we will enjoy the better payment terms of 180 days, and that should give us a further improvement on the working capital front. Can you repeat your second question, because I'm not sure I understand what you were looking for?
No, I think those are, I guess, one of the, you know, the second question has pretty much been answered, but one of the additional questions, if I may, is you mentioned the CapEx increase resulting from the Huawei contract. Could you please explain why that's going to happen, and if you have any estimates of how much that would be?
Well, we said always that we have a CapEx envelope since the acquisition of $1 billion over the next 5 years. We have underspent that envelope in 2011. We said by that time that spend was also driven by our change from Alcatel-Lucent to Huawei. So there is especially our UMTS 900 rollout, which we have not pursued with ALU anymore, but have waited for the new partner Huawei to arrive, because it wouldn't have made a lot of sense to actually roll out equipment from another vendor than the new vendor. So that is now kicking in, and since April, May, we have started with that UMTS rollout now with our new partner, so there is now that rollout happening, and that is accelerating and will probably come to an end at the mid of 2013, when we should have modernized our entire network towards UMTS, UMTS 900, with full multi-standard radio being capable of upgraded to LTE rather quickly. So that is the acceleration in investments that we are seeing. And furthermore, you have seen in the CapEx slide as well that there's a couple of other items, like, for example, the investment into IPTV and into Ethernet products, which we have been developing on our network, which have driven that trend upwards in the first half year.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, sir.
Once again, that's star one to ask a question. Your next question comes from Usman Ghazi from Berenberg. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the question. I just have one, please. Can you indicate the percentage of gross ads in the Swiss market that currently come from the online segment? Is it a developed channel, or is it just a minor source of gross ads at the moment?
I think it's from our perspective, apart from some special offers in some segments like prepaid, it's in general a minor contribution.
Okay. And in the market as a whole?
Yeah, in the market, that's what I mean.
Oh, so for all participants, it's a relatively minor source of gross ads.
I mean, if I compare that to other markets that I've seen in the past, then it's surprisingly low so far. But
could you indicate how much, or roughly what percentage you're talking about?
Low single digit, I would say.
Okay.
But I think in general we see some lagging here in Switzerland, also in other industries. which I would consider might change going forward. We've just seen a big entry of retailers on the online world, like for example Zalando, into this market. And it might just be that time over time online gets more important. That's also the reason why we have now positioned a new pure online product to drive this development a little bit more.
Okay, just one follow-up, please. I mean, is there a risk that you know, your actions are followed by Orange, and then that basically leads to another leg down in pricing?
I mean, as I said, so far the importance of online is limited. And if you look at the offer, then there's clearly a trade-off the customer has to do because it's pure online and it's without a handset. So it's clearly differentiated from our normal offer portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So economically it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the whole industry to look carefully after subscriber acquisition cost and subscriber retention cost, and an offer like this is, of course, a good vehicle to influence that positively. At the same time, we have said that we have chosen the price point which we consider to be the price floor, and we will stick to the fact that we have the most attractive offer, and we consider that the other market participants will understand that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Laura Medler from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Hi, just two short questions, please. The new RCF that you signed for 250 million Swiss francs, could you tell me what maturity that has and the interest rate on that?
We actually do not disclose the easy details on this one, but the maturity is at the original term loan in 2017.
2017. Okay, great. Thanks.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. A quick question on Interconnect. Clearly, you still have an asymmetric Interconnect with Swisscom. I was just wondering, in the past, you know, how much this asymmetry has actually benefit, what sort of benefit it has provided to Sunrise, and how do you see that evolving on the back of the new tariff plans that have been introduced into the market, please? Thank you very much.
I think the asymmetry has increased in the last round of termination rate changes. I think we have gone to 25% asymmetry, so up, which I think is important. And of course, dependent on the absolute level of the termination rate on whether this asymmetry plays a certain role. I think at this moment in time, we do not foresee termination rate changes during the year. Unclear, of course, but that's our best view at the moment. And on the back of tariff changes on Swisscom, and on the back of the license cost and the network build-out advantage that Swisscom has with its scale, our view is that the asymmetry between termination charges should, if anything, increase.
Sorry, just to follow up, could you quantify the benefit which you think you've accrued on an LTM basis?
That we need to, I think we had something in the original roadshow presentation when the termination rate cut was happening, and I think we can replay that to you through Uwe.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's the only figures we actually published on this one.
But not the benefits. The termination cut had a negative impact on our EBITDA, but not a benefit.
The cut, yes. Yeah,
the cut.
The asymmetry.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Jean-Yves Guibert from BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got actually three group of questions. The first one on your underlying performance. So coming back actually to the first question of the conference call. If I exclude the Nextira One acquisition and the hubbing revenue, it looks like on a year-on-year basis in Q2 your revenue were totally flat, at 0% increase. Is that a trend that we should continue to foresee for the next following quarters? And then through the EBITDA, I mean, you explain that your other income for the vast majority benefited from higher ETF collection. Through the recurring EBITDA that you indicated on page, in your slide on page 6, the growth is 4.6%. I think it was at above 7% in Q1. So could you also elaborate further on this decelerating trend? And should we expect even a flat performance going into H2 given the new rate plan introduced? Sorry for the long question. This was the first part. On your CapEx, you mentioned, again, the 1 billion five-year envelope. But if I remember correctly, I thought that you you revised that one to more a figure of 200 million per annum. And if there was if the 200 million annual envelope were not to be fully spent during one special year, there won't be any increase the following year. So my question is, as far as 2012 is concerned, shall we expect still around 200 million to be spent, or do you expect to have some capex efficiency compared with this 200 million? And about the new rate plan so introduced by Swisscom, for which you responded very rapidly, was there any other also responses, moved from other players, notably Orange, on the back of that? Thank you very much.
Okay, quite a bit. So if I start with the underlying performance, so we don't give any forward-looking statement in regards to how the business should evolve or will evolve at this point in time. I think what I said is pretty much true. So I mean, clearly the trend that we have seen in the second quarter, and that was the reason for the deceleration of all of the KPIs that you were looking at. We have seen customer growth slowing down. I gave the reason earlier, pretty much customer locked in 24 months contract, little reason to go, no tariff innovations, prices stable, and also hardware available in the market in the second quarter was rather unattractive. So we have seen from our perspective a rather soft market, and that has contributed to the fact. Also, we have seen seasonality that was different. We still think that the revenue development will, of course, get a little bit under pressure from the pricings that we have been seeing. Clearly, that was a significant price cut. However, Oliver has also talked about that we are seeing positive customer growth trends. So the attractiveness of the tariffs and the additional growth will, of course, compensate a lot of the migration effect, and also in the migration steering, we have a lot of levers to actually impact those. So that's, I think, the answer I can give to your first question. On your second question regarding CapEx, at the time being, we still see the 200 million, so there is no increase above that. What could be the case is actually if we are running faster with our rollout, that could actually lead to a slight increase, but I would not expect a huge one. If that would be the case, we would rather view that as a positive, as we think that our infrastructure modernization will be a positive underlying fact to support our customer growth going forward.
Question number three on tariffs. As you rightly pointed out, we have reacted quickly to Swisscom's pricing move. Orange has only reacted in some promotional activities on some of the most important tariffs, which we consider to be not a threat to our positioning, as we can see it from our weekly intake of customers.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a quick follow-up on the CapEx. If you spent slightly more than the 200 million envelope this year, does that mean that next year the full-year CapEx envelope will be potentially lower than the 200 million envelope, or shall we expect still a 200 million run rate annual CapEx?
I think you should expect a 200 million run rate. If there would be significant changes, if we, for example, need to accelerate certain investments or rollouts, because we do see the need for that, then we would come back. But at this point in time, I think we can stick to the 200.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Neil Considine from Avoca Capital. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. The first question just comes back to the very first question asked on the call. I'm still unclear on the other income impact on EBITDA. Are you saying that of the income that you booked, the results in that 15.6 million other income, that there's an offsetting cost impact, sort of accounting cost impact, higher up in your cost base, and so that had you not booked the ETFs and the provision reversal, the net impact on EBITDA, you still would have had 159.9 million EBITDA? Or are you saying had you not booked those various one-off income items, EBITDA would have been more like 144? And then the second question is, in reference to the new pricing package that you've recently introduced, are you able to give us some sense of the impact on ARPU and EBITDA from that new package? How should we think about kind of how the trajectory might look as a result of that price package change? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to comment on the ETF and the other income, and there I would like to go back to the year-end results. I mean, what we have seen that the early termination fees is representing some portion of revenue in our mobile revenue line and also in the overall revenue line. In 2011, we booked 32 million of revenue there. We were under the impression, and we think it's still right, not to recognize that at revenue because it's distorting ARPU development. It's also distorting revenue development. Therefore, we do not recognize these kind of fees as revenue any longer, and IFRS then allows these type of revenues to book as other income and expense. That is where you have to book them under them. And of course, if you have early termination fees and you think there's not all collectible, you have to make provisions for this one, and those provisions have to be booked as bad debt, and they are included in other external charges. So you have a debit component in other external charges, you have a credit component in other income, and these both are netting out. So this effect, whether we would have booked it as revenue, as other income, or bad debt, would have not changed our EBITDA line at all. It's just where in the P&L we have allocated those, because for us it was important also to give you a clear transparency on our overall KPIs, such as revenue development and ARPUs, which are not distorted by these kind of fees from customers who terminated the contract, or where we have decided we terminate their contract because they do not pay their bills. I think this is hopefully answering your first question. If not, it is quite an accounting issue, and I would appreciate if you contact me afterwards directly, and we can go a bit more into detail of this one.
Okay. No, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. On your second question regarding what is the pricing impact, so at the moment it's quite difficult to actually give you a stable view on that. As you can imagine, since the tariff has been launched at the beginning of July, actually we have rather seen only few customers that have seen one invoice. We do see that the trends are rather volatile. We do see that there are positive and negative movements. For the time being, the volumes are also quite volatile as well, so it's very difficult to actually give a stable perspective on that. At the end, I think you should expect that there is a slight negative trend coming out of that, and that's what all in all we can see at this point in time, but I didn't like to quantify.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Marco Gironi from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I had a follow-up question on mobile termination rate cuts, which you kind of hinted at in a previous answer. We're expecting another round of sort of negotiation to close this year. Is it my understanding that you do not expect now any change for 2012, and that where does that leave the timeline for potential future negotiations? Thanks.
Our expectation at this moment in time is that we won't see a change in 2012. Might well be that we will enter discussions again among the operators on how to run a future path, but also that I think is not clear whether that will happen. At the moment, it's very quiet on this end.
And just to follow up on that, do you feel any pressure from Comcom to restart these negotiations?
No, we don't.
Okay, thanks.
Once again, that's star one to ask a question. Your next question comes from Usman Ghazi from Berenberg. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Sorry, two follow-up questions. Firstly, are you seeing any benefits from the strength of the Swiss franc in terms of procuring euro-denominated or dollar-denominated handsets from suppliers? So are you seeing any benefits of that in your cost base? The second question was this price point for the new tariff. How was it? I mean, what are the factors that led you to arrive at it? Because it's obviously a 35 percentage point reduction on your offline Sunrise Flat 4 tariff. So, can you just guide us through what your thinking was in coming up with a price point that was so deeply discounted? Thanks.
If I start with the handset sourcing, I think this is an effect which we see already for a longer while, so there's no discontinuity in this one. Swiss franc has been very strong now for a longer while. Some of the handsets we buy are actually denominated in Swiss francs. Some of them are in euro, so we do have a small advantage on some of the handsets. However, we also pass part of it on in our offerings to consumers and to retailers, so I wouldn't consider any big effect if you compare the run rates of the last quarters on this one. And then lastly, second question on the price point. The price point we've chosen is below our flat 4, that is true. There is no handset included. That's a big difference.
There's no handset included in the flat 4 as well, right? So on a like-for-like basis, you're comparing 49 to 75 75 francs.
Yes, true. If you compare to 75, that's true. There's no handset included either. But then at the same time, there's no paper bill. There's no customer care. We even charge for customer care on this. We don't use external channels. It's only online. We don't pay commission. So if you do the calculation, there are significant savings in the back end for this tariff. Mm-hmm. That's number one. The other side of the coin, of course, is that we do see a flat rate in the market from Swisscom for 59 Swiss francs, mm-hmm. Which includes a handset and has low surfing speed. Mm-hmm. And we need to clearly position ourselves as best value for money, and therefore we have taken this 59 as a reference, mm-hmm. And believe if customers are really budget-oriented, then not going for a handset and going online and then choose 49 Swiss francs is the better offer. So it's both coming from a cost perspective and efficiency gains in the back end, which are significant, and avoiding to use third parties on the one hand, but also the relative positioning in the market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And your next question comes from Giuliano Torri from SG General. Please ask your question.
Well, coming back to the first question which I asked, essentially I'm seeing here on your reports that you seem to have a very large increase in the other income and expenses line in the second quarter of this year versus the second quarter of last year. So since you mentioned that this has reflected mainly early termination fees, I'd like to know if this has anything to do with a major increase in customer losses or not, or is there any other reason why this line has increased so much in during this period? Thank you very much.
I mean, the point on other income, it's really how we account for this one. And it is the ETF which we are putting down below. And I think when we originally introduced that, and also I think on the investor call for the year end, we laid out that we have changed some items, how we calculate and how we charge early termination fees with the original introduction of iPhones and smartphones, because there is a potential element of fraud in there, that somebody purchased a price plan not wanting to pay for it. and therefore we have increased the sum. So the increase in other income and expenses is driven by an increase in ETF, but there is a compensating element in the other external charges which are not broken out. I mean, what we will consider for the Q3 results is really breaking this one out and make it more transparent for you, as it raises a lot of questions on your side and understanding, which I can also, you know, fully comprehend.
Okay. Just to illustrate a little bit, like if you go back like 2.5 years ago or so, the majority of Sunrise contracts that were sold had a monthly subscription of 30, 40, 50 Swiss francs or so. So much more in the middle segment of what we're doing today, of what it's been doing today. So if you have a non-payer on these tariffs, then you basically have to put in ETF something like 30 or 40 Swiss franc subscription times the rest of the contract outstanding. In the past, Sunrise has been very, I would say, moderate in counting or in asking for this ETF, because the devices that were being sold with these tariffs were significantly cheaper. So sometimes Sunrise was asking only for 6 months of outstanding monthly subscription fees, because the device was actually very low. When the iPhone was introduced, of course, we had to take care also for the fact that these are very valuable devices, and also the tariff, the monthly subscription, is easily around 100 Swiss francs. So if then there is a non-payer among these customers and you charged early termination fee and there is 12 months outstanding, you immediately get to 1,200 Swiss francs. So this has actually increased the overall amount significantly. And this was also, even with the number of cases being equal, so 1,000 customers 3 years ago had a significantly lower volume than 1,000 customers last month or so, just because of the tariff landscape. And because this early termination fee effect increased and the absolute amount increased, we have at that point decided that it's probably not a good idea to have that in the revenue line, because it's not clearly not true revenue, if you wish, and therefore the change in the accounting, which were advised for by the auditors. That's what's happening here.
Okay, so just so I can kind of...
There's no underlying problem in the customer quality or so. It's just the nature of the customers we win. They just have higher subscriptions with more valuable handsets, so we also ask for a higher compensation if these customers don't pay, and that has made the early termination fees bigger.
Okay, so just so I can understand completely here, it seems that the numbers that you prepare for Q2 2012 are not prepared in the same accounting principles of the numbers that you prepare for Q2 2011 here on this release. Is this correct, or am I...
No, this is not correct. They were prepared in exactly the same way.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions. Please continue.
All right. With this also, the time is up for the call. I thank you very much for your time participating at our call and wish you a good afternoon.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.